Welcome to Highly Political, a podcast where two passionate ladies smoke weed, talk politics, laugh, and sometimes cry. With special guests from the world of comedy, cannabis, and politics.
We haven't worked on Capitol Hill, but that's okay. We're paying attention, and so should you.
We want you to be informed, like little democracy angels. So pack your bowl, grab some snacks, and let's get into it. And remember, when they go low, we get high.
We're back.
A lot has happened in 2 months, and unfortunately, we've been inside for most of it. But we're happy to be back.
Today, we're smoking Indica Dominant Skywalker OG, a strain meant to deeply relax you within the first few minutes. Too bad we can't relax because the government is snatching people up.
We sit down with Jake Johnson, who is currently on the ground in Portland, to give us some insight on the situation.
We have 91 days until the election, AOC takes the crown, and 45 is demonizing poor people again. How surprising. All right, T, light it up.
Sammy, it feels so good to be back.
It really does. I mean, I'm so excited.
It was nice to have a little hiatus. I'm not going to lie, I needed a little like break from being so invested in what was going on. Not to say like I wasn't paying attention, but
it's too much.
It's a lot. But so much has been happening that I am ready to talk about it.
Yeah. For our loyal listeners and followers, as the numbers continue to grow, we took a break right before all the protests.
May 29th was our last episode.
Yeah. So a lot has happened. You know, we're not going to catch you all up on it because I'm sure you all have phones. So, But we got a great episode, and we have a buddy from Portland who's up in the mix of it. So we're going to talk to him a little bit later. And you know, we just got some shit's happening. So
I mean, I like to preface it with like, I'm not going to lie. I thought when we did our last episode, and I thought, you know, this might be our last Zoom episode.
Oh,
in the next 2 months,
you know what? I thought that too.
We'll be back in person, sharing joints. but here we are, in pretty much second wave self quarantine.
Yeah, this is awful. As I was telling Tiana, somebody offered me a joint on the street, like it was pre-COVID. I don't even think she realized it. And I don't think I realized it for at least like 5 seconds. I almost walked over and took it. And then I was like, oh, nope.
Yeah, I had an interesting encounter the other day that wasn't as pleasant. I was in an Uber and my Uber driver was listening to this America First, kind of like Make America Great Again type of political radio show. I literally almost tucked and rolled myself out of the car. On the freeway.
don't be doing that as an Uber driver. Just play some elevator music.
It was interesting, like, thought that he like would listen to it. And I was literally sitting there in the back seat in a Black Lives Matter mask. Like, I don't think I'm the right person.
All of a sudden, you're like, Black Lives, you matter here.
I mean, I literally, there were some things he was saying that I literally started laughing out loud at, not him, but the radio show was saying. And I almost like contemplated saying like, hey, can you turn that off? I forgot I had headphones. I could have just put my headphones on, listen to music. But I was also interested to like hear what they were saying. But I also like, I'm not going to lie, like I was a little hesitant to ask for him to turn it off because I was kind of afraid that it might get like a negative reaction from him.
Yeah.
And then I'd be stuck in this man's car, like debating why I didn't want to listen to that bullshit.
Not that we're proponents of fucking with people's paychecks, but you did give him 0 stars, right?
I think you can only give 1 star. It's like the lowest you can give. And that's what he got.
What he gets.
Well, they also say like, you'll never match with somebody again if you give them like, so like, I think 2 or less stars or something. So there's been times where I have like creepy Uber drivers and I gave them 1 star because of that. Like, I don't ever want to see you again.
When my pop would drive me, you know, around town from basketball and like all my theater plays and stuff, he would always be playing Rush Limbaugh. But like, it was before, I mean, Rush has always been crazy. And like Sean Hannity.
Before this was like the shock value.
It was before they were a little bit like obvious. Now they're all blatant in what they say. I mean, right. But before it was kind of just like bullshit, right? Talking points.
Right.
And I loved my pop, but I was like, you know, maybe I'd give him 1 star. He was my Uber driver. NPR, obviously it's left-leaning. I get it, but it's like soothing. It's more informative. Exactly. They always interview experts.
This was not that.
Oh, how surprising.
It was very right-leaning and uncomfortable. But I did think, I wonder if this is what the like target audience for that radio show would feel listening to our podcast, like all these stupid, dumb liberal bitches. It kind of made me proud. Like, yeah, I am a dumb liberal bitch. Fuck you, asshole. I mean, I'm not dumb, but I am a liberal bitch. Okay, right. So fuck off.
I mean, the thing is too, like, obviously we have never, like, as we say, you know, we haven't worked in politics, but we like try to stay informed and try and like do our research, try to be, I mean, like, we're inherently biased against, you know, Trump and Republicans, but I fucking click on all those references. I go find the report. I was reading Arizona cases all day about people who fucking have committed voter fraud.
Damn.
Guess what? The only person who actually said who they voted for, they voted twice for Romney in 2012.
Yeah, I saw something that, I mean, we'll get into it later, but it was like from like 2000 to 2014, the number of cases of voter fraud in like states that had done, I can't remember the specific term right now because I've just been smoking, but like where they like pre-register you or automatically register you, I guess that's the term. There was like 31 cases of voter fraud in 14 years.
Oh, okay, so I don't know if you saw. Also this week, I don't feel like wasting a lot of time because I kind of think it was a waste of time, except the CEO one. But there were some major congressional hearings this week. AG Barr, and the tech giants of Amazon, Twitter, Google, and Apple. And for AG Barr, Rep. Jayapal, she gave the stats on voter fraud, and she said in an MIT election, in a data science lab that states over the past 20 years, more than 250 million ballots have been cast by mail, and the fraud rate is 0.00006%.
Oh my god!
Okay.
She also said when he was trying to speak over her and speak some bullshit, she said, "Sir, this is my time and I control it." I said, "Bitch!" yeah, I mean,
there's a comprehensive 2014 study published in the Washington Post found 31 credible instances of impersonation fraud from 2000 to 2014 out of more than 1 billion ballots cast. 31 cases. And a lot of that shit is like, if somebody has a dual residence.
Right.
None of the for most of the cases that I've read, all of them pleaded that they were like in a stressful state at that time and like did not realize they voted twice. I mean, who knows? Like that's maybe like the go-to voter fraud defense. But I mean, perhaps like somebody mailed in their ballot. I could see how it's possible, but it happens. As this was said, 31 cases out of 1 billion.
And then, in case anybody hasn't seen the tweet by the current resident of the White House that came out today, aside from why this is important just in general, but this fool's really trying to mess with our elections. He said, with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election capitalized in history.
An election spelt wrong?
Well, it will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote?
Yo, he's the fucking worst. It's fake. He also said, not in this, but like he's been quoted to say that it's a lot of illegals, but you know, which is obviously derogatory. But the thing is, have you not fucking heard of people who don't have permanent status working under the table because they're fucking afraid to get caught.
Yeah.
No one's going to fucking register to vote just to vote for you in the chances they may lose. They have a 50-50 chance of losing.
Just the fact that you have to register to vote as a citizen is stupid to me.
I agree.
Like, isn't it?
First of all, no one's fucking voting. The reason Hillary lost was it was the lowest voter turnout. And like, since
you still had the popular vote by 2 million.
Yeah.
Almost three.
I mean, no, obviously. But
I'm just
like, Americans are lazy. They don't fucking vote. They take everything for granted.
Yes and no. And a lot of people, I think,
are suppressed.
It's suppressed. And it's like, okay. If you. I feel like we have a lot of opportunities to see things and have the access to register to vote. I can't specifically speak of like personal like experiences of why it would be difficult to register to vote, but the fact that like you have to go somewhere to register to vote, depending on where it's at, where you live, I could see that why that could be a barrier, right? And then, okay, well, I was working as a waitress or even working as a 9-to-5 or any type of job. If you're expected to do something on election day and you can't get out and like the lines are as long as they are and they're closing polling places, you might not even get the opportunity to get in and vote.
Right. It needs to be a national holiday.
If people
have to work, you know, like if it's not a bank, whatever, they just get the next day to vote. Like,
but it's like one day. We can have one day where nobody works. Like, that's the thing that's so crazy to me. It's right. One day. Like, this should be the most important thing about like what runs our society. You're not getting McDonald's nuggets this day. You know what I mean? Like, you should be in line and voting. It should be some kind of like, it should be as important as like, you know, how Christmas is in America, which the fact that so many people have Christmas off, which is, you know, a religion-based holiday.
Good point.
Is insane to me, but Election Day isn't a national day that workers get off. It's almost like they don't want people to vote or something.
Hmm. It's almost like that. No, he's afraid, but he's been pulling this for 2 years. He's been slowly been dripping that voter fraud IV.
What's also been something that like people have been saying that he's going to try to like delay the election or not, or try. I think what's also more important, aside from the fact, because legally he can't stop the election, right? So it'd have to be like the House and Congress and like an amendment to the Constitution to delay the election. And ever since, I think it was, 1845, the election day has been the first Tuesday of November since 1845. It's 2020, y'all. I'm not going to do the math to tell
you. A lot of shit has happened in between that, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, you know
what Tiana's subtext was.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, people are getting out there to vote. And so, I think what's also scary is, like, he's trying to also lay the seeds for the election not being legitimate. If all everything aligns correctly and he loses.
Yeah, he's afraid of that because he would lose, I think, if everybody had the open, free, easy right to vote in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do think that. Do I think he's going to lose? I don't know. I'm not one of those people who's like, I know the poll numbers looking really good for Biden. I'm like, well, the poll numbers looked really good for Hillary.
Yeah.
I mean, but then they counter with, well, it's even higher than Hillary's. And then I counter with yes, because Joe Biden's a man. Okay. So.
Yeah, fair.
So besides that, you know, Trump trying to block and the GOP in this administration. It's not just him. We have to always have a reminder. It's like active work, like for, you know, there's that guy Paxton in Texas who's trying, you know, it's just like they're making it harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to even put an address on that ballot because he also wants to resend the AFFH rules that the Obama administration put in place.
It's just so crazy to me. I mean, let me pull up the tweet he actually said, but like the way that people try to villainize people experiencing poverty. It's just so beyond to me. I recently had a meetup with, some people, and someone brought up how, the extra $600 and that stimulus package is going to expire soon and people are going to stop getting that money. So we better be careful and make sure our door, people are going to become breaking into our houses because of that. They weren't going to be getting this extra $600 anymore.
Yeah. You need to get new friends. I don't know who the fuck they are.
So I use the term friend loosely. It was not a friend. Did I say friend? That was wrong.
I don't know. Maybe you didn't. You said a group of people. You were trying to be diplomatic about it.
The people who are getting their extra $600 a month on unemployment aren't all of a sudden going to be filled with a desire to
commit a crime,
steal and pillage.
Right.
Because of that. And to me, again, it's like the villainization of people who are poor or experiencing poverty and the non-understanding of what it means to actually be poor, but still working your ass off. I can speak from experience growing up with a single mom and taking care of myself most of my, adult life. You can still work really hard and not be making that much money. And I still wouldn't break into your house because of it. It was so bizarre to me. I was just like, okay, well.
And the AFFH stands, it's under the Fair Housing Act. It's a rule, and affirmatively furthering fair housing. Okay. Mm. So this means to let's say, a handicapped person, for building regulations and things like that. It's supposed to build up communities and give people a chance because when we give people a chance, you're saying, you're not going to fucking pillage somebody's house.
Right.
You're going to, you have to do whatever you have to do. So if you give somebody the opportunity for housing, it opens up for them.
So I found the tweet. So this is Trump's tweet. It says, again, the bullshit and the people he's trying to entice. All right. I am happy to inform all of the people living their suburban lifestyle dream, all capitalized. Is that a book that I'm unaware of? That you will no longer be bothered or financially hurt by having low income housing built in your neighborhood. Your housing prices will go up based on the market and crime will go down. I rescinded the Obama-Biden AFFH rule. Enjoy!
He might as well just say, people who are on the fence about me and might vote for Biden in those those expensive suburban areas.
Yeah. I know I haven't gotten you yet on my racist stuff, but do you hate poor people? Because so do I. They're like, oh my God, me too. Yeah. Okay. All right. You got me.
The thing is too, I'm not sure what those areas look like, but suburban, there's a connotation there of green lawns. They probably don't even have these problems.
Trump's already done the whole thing, housewives, this is the way Joe Biden's America will look for you as he's playing videos of America currently under his leadership. And I don't know, again, it's I just think it's such a an old trick to play to the
It's Reagan, it's Reagan's welfare queen.
Yeah, trying to scare you're gonna lose your middle class standing, where it's don't people understand, you're so much closer to the people you fear than the people who are telling you to fear those people. You're never gonna be a billionaire. More than likely, you're probably never gonna be a billionaire, but you're more likely much closer to being homeless. Or being one of those people who's going to break into houses because they lost that extra $600 a month.
You're saying you're nice and loud for your neighbor to hear?
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, and another thing is most people say this, you've never been on unemployment. Oh, so you think they can live off the $200 a month?
Yeah.
$200 a month. My unemployment was $450 a month and I was making way more than that when I got laid off. So how the fuck am I supposed to just bounce back from that? don't know. I just think it's just the way that we villainize the poor people and we pit each other against one another, like the whole caste system is just, it's disappointing because it's like the distraction is real.
And, you know, we're only as good as who's on the bottom of our country. If everybody does better, the country does better. But, but Trump, who has had trouble with fair housing since the 70s, when his father wouldn't let black people live in the Queen's residences, like, this is a long history with him. So, you know, he's just doing the shit of our wildest nightmares, but not really, because Deanna and I knew this all was going to go down when
when we sobbed in each other's arms in 2016.
How many people told me I'm over exaggerating now? And you know, I see them. They're stressed now. They're posting all of this shit. They're a little more political than they were 4 years ago. It's because they voted for a fucking shit sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah,
regardless, I think that's also an example of, like, to me, I see a lot of fear in a lot of his tweets, you know, like he's grasping on so many straws.
Yes.
He, you know, one thing I will say about Trump is he's good at creating like multiple exit strategies, you know, he's like, okay, like ball might bounce here, so I will do this. Ball might bounce there, so I'm going to do this. And like trying to figure it out. But it's also on a broader scheme, very scary for what this means, like for our democracy and like what we claim to stand for as a country.
Yeah.
So
that's, I mean, you know, I agree. What if I was like, you know what, Tiana, let me play devil's advocate. I'm not here for that shit. Fuck that.
I'm like, damn, I can't believe we're going to end the podcast on the first episode of season 3.
So Sam became an incel. I was like, what?
She's like, have you heard of QAnon? Oh, no, damn.
Oh, the rise of conspiracy theory. It's like, there's too many things to talk about, you know?
Yeah. Don't worry, guys. We got a whole season coming up.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm pretty singy today. I like the way my voice sounds with this, I mean, I'm high, you know, so.
Yeah, that helps. Let me just. But yeah, so. We'll see, I guess.
I mean, it's scary. Just make sure you vote. Like, just pay attention.
Yeah, make sure you get 96. You know what? Today is July 30th. 96 days till November 3rd.
Oh, yeah. You know, I wanted to start every episode with a countdown for election.
Oh, cool.
I forgot to, but we should.
96 days till November 3rd. You know, I'm not trying to like put like personal pressure on you guys, but my birthday is November 7th, so like, you know, it's gonna be, I know it's 2020, so I'm not expecting a lot, but can we just like vote this guy out so I can like not be sobbing still on my birthday?
I mean, like, I have a therapist now who's like,
need to get one,
helping me cope, because I mean, I'm trying to talk to my mom right now.
Like,
we're not seeing eye to eye on some things.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I'm like, wait a minute, therapist, are you a Trump voter?
I don't know. I just feel like this is one of the biggest elections of our lifetime.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one thing I saw somebody was saying, like, well, you know, Trump, he can't delay the election. Even though Pompeo said that, the Justice Department or somebody would make decisions on if the election was delayed or not. But the thing is, it's like there's a lot of things.
I'm sure he did.
That Trump's done during these first 4 years that you're not supposed to be able to do as president that he's just done anyway. So like, I think that's what makes me really anxious. And then just the insurgence of we see of these unidentified, basically Gestapos out here. Who says they're not going to have people like that at polling elections? I mean, like, not to be like conspiracy theorist type of person, but like, it just seems like there's a lot of things setting up.
That's like a step. Like, you're just like looking far into.
Yeah, I just feel like as somebody who, like, if you were a leader of a group of people, you'd have to think about like all options, right? Okay, so this is what they've done already. What could they be capable of, and what are they ultimately trying to stop?
I mean, just their defeat by any cost. You know, right. I think some of these reps were like retweeting Stella Emanuel.
Our crazy old cuckoo of the week.
Who happens to be our crazy old cuckoo of the week?
It's the crazy old kook of the week. Why you gotta be so fucking crazy?
Listen.
So this woman is a doctor?
She's a pediatrician.
Okay.
She's a pediatrician, and she's claimed to have cured, what, over 350 patients of coronavirus.
Yep. And tell us about the demons, Tiana.
So, I don't know, you know, if you've ever suffered from endometriosis or, you know, a miscarriage or any type of, like, kind of issues that, you know, result in that area. Based off of Stella's research, it's because you had a demon or witch have sex with you in your dreams. And a lot of times that's brought on by masturbation, because apparently she says sex is like a spiritual thing. So if you do it by yourself, then you're inviting demons and witches to join you.
Okay. Okay.
She also believes that our government is part reptilian.
That adds up. Mm-hmm.
And that currently scientists are working on a vaccine to make people anti-religious.
Okay. She seems kind of credible, right?
She's cured 350 people of coronavirus with
chloroquine.
Despite, you know, I haven't looked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she may be right.
I haven't seen any records, or, you know, she says that, you know, all the other data that's out there is fake science.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not a scientist.
I think
would look at real science and be able to
actually this actually science. Really makes sense to me why Republicans are sharing her information at all.
Well, and then like the whole thing now is like, oh well, she was censored, you know. And then she also, when her video got taken down for misinformation about COVID, she told Facebook that God was going to destroy their computers if they didn't put her post back up.
Oh no, that's why my computer freaked out the other day.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are sharing this video, and I get it. It's like, okay, maybe all those things doesn't mean that she's wrong, but I haven't seen any actual scientific evidence from her that she's right. And until I see that, deductive reasoning tells me that if she believes these other things, I should probably not listen to some things she has to say.
Yes.
You know?
So,
because I know a lot of people are now, oh, well, they're just attacking her. You know, the left just wants to attack her character versus like going into the facts and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like.
Also, you want to think like, would you take this woman to see your baby?
Exactly. After
all, would you take your daughter, baby?
And who, I'm telling you, if she was right and was saying something with sanity that was the cure for coronavirus and we no longer had to wear masks and we could go back into life and whatever, I'd be 100% for it, because I don't want to be inside. Okay, I'm over it. Y'all act like I want to be in here. Okay, no. But it's just that this ain't it. So, Stella, congratulations. You are season the crazy 3, episode cook. 1, Crazy Old Kook of the Week.
And I don't even know if you're old, but we're going to call you it.
And the coalition of doctors she is with was started and funded by like a Tea Party group. So,
just like fucking everything, the hypocrisy of it all, driving me crazy. It's like all these people who senators and talking heads and Republicans who are going on Hannity, who are so outraged by these protests but in 2014. They were totally okay with the Bundys in Oregon who weren't paying their fucking taxes, and the federal police came like under Obama. But now, when the federal police, quote unquote, whoever they are coming after protesters, it's like a-okay.
Kidnapping people. Like, what would you do if you had a protest? If you're walking down the street and a van just pulled up and some dudes jumped out and grabbed your friend? Would you say, oh, well, this is America, so, you know, that just happens sometimes, and I'm just going to peacefully respect that and let my friend get dragged away. Or would you be like, no, sir, and fucking fight back? I don't understand, like, why they're attacking people as if this is okay. Like, you can't just run up and snatch people. I mean, it happens, but, like, it's a natural instinct to fight back on something like that.
Also, the reasons too, like, for example, somebody protesting, they're trying to make a difference and they're trying to, and I'm not.
Exercise their First Amendment, right? The first
exactly.
one.
Yo, the first one. I'm also so sick of still hearing about these rioters. Like, shut the fuck up. They are not protesters. They are disruptors. They're not right. here for the, so I'm talking about the actual protesters. So yeah, they're exercising their First Right Amendment. What they're doing is hoping for change that will affect the lives of many of our other fellow Americans positively. Okay.
Right.
The Bundys didn't want to fucking pay taxes. So in Oregon. Right. So the taxes on their land that would go to government programs for the state. So they were directly harming people.
Right. Well, also was it, fuck, what was the name? The one we were talking about earlier, who was grilling A.G. Barr about when she said, like, this is my time and I control it. She also was asking, I think it was in Georgia, where there was protesters who, like, had, like, an effigy of the governor and were calling for him to be hanged and killed and, like, had guns and all this stuff. And he didn't send any, like, federal forces in there. But, you know, peaceful Black Lives Matter protests has all this extra, like, security and federal, like, forces being enacted. And he was just like, oh, I wasn't aware that was happening. She's like, you weren't aware? He's like, well, there's a lot of protests in America. Okay, so you say that like that's okay and normal. So, like, actually, I'm really bad at my job, so I'm looking at a lot of complaints right now, so I didn't get to that one.
Like, and then also the ones with the armed citizens in Michigan who had guns and screaming in federal forces' faces. Not federal, but state.
Yeah, like, over not wanting to wear a mask.
Yeah. And he also, like, once again, he wasn't aware of the swastika laden gun toting people of Michigan.
I mean, they don't matter. Oh, someone's, oh, but oh, Jake's coming in.
But an REI burnt down in Santa Monica and we got to start arresting people with no cause.
Dude, so wild.
Now we're going to sit down with friend of the pod, Jake Johnson. You can find his footage of Portland on Twitter at Fancy Jenkins and peep his artwork on Instagram under username Jake's Jungle. Thanks for coming on the pod, Jake.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, y'all.
I know, it's so nice. I'm so stoked.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the world. And I'm happy to hopefully be able to help people understand what's at least happening here in Portland. So
yeah, thank you. So yeah, for those of you who don't know, Jake lives in Portland. And Jake, what publication, your press out there, right? So what publication do you work for, and like what's your title?
I don't really work for anyone. I just work for myself, so I'm mostly sort of going out and just like live tweeting sort of what's happening at protests, just trying to make sure that other journalists have coverage. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of different things even happening at one moment, but also things are happening like 24/7. So I'm just like trying to make sure that if anyone has questions about what happened and they don't know about it, that I can just be another person that can sort of help to share my perspective and understanding about what I experienced to hopefully make sure that we're like keeping the narrative straight, because it's really easy to twist that narrative. A big part of this is like trying to be correct. So that's sort of my main role.
That's footage can get, I mean, too, when you talk about how the media is being bent, like the mainstream media, you know, let's just go with the two, right? Like CNN and Fox, right? Mm-hmm. All of these cable news companies, they pull off Twitter now. They follow the Twitter cycle. So if one of your videos were to ever gain traction, like it could be reached to many other people, seeing like, no, these are peaceful protests or whatever's happening, unlawfully to the protesters who are just exercising their First Amendment right, I think is very important because technology and communication now works at like the speed of light. So that's very important.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, that's been a big conversation among journalists here is like, especially with like polling videos from Twitter is like, technically they don't have to like compensate journalists to use footage, which is like really sort of nefarious like mechanism in just like press law. So they don't technically have to pay us for the work that we're doing out there, but you know, it'd be really nice if they were to actually support journalists that are out here doing the work instead of like recently because of like the federal snatcher vans and Donovan LaBella being like shot in the face and like needing you know, reconstructive surgery. Like a bunch of national outlets like sent people from all over the country to like one journalist from a major news network was like, I'm gonna get to Portland and like figure out what's going on down there. You know, in like, I don't know how long the person was here for, but you know, I think they can't have been here for longer than a week or two at the most. And so it's like, you know, people have been out here for, tonight's going to be at least the 64th night of protests. Right. So like, you know, 14 days, not 64 days make, you know, it's just, it's a lot, but it's ridiculous. So.
Yeah. It's interesting how people want to just kind of come in and be like a savior, spreading what's happening versus connecting with the people who've been down there actually doing the work and have firsthand accounts of like how these things have transpired to become what they are. Something I feel like I see a lot on a lot of mainstream media is a lot of hyping up of like how there's like so much chaos and the city is like under siege and under control. And from other things I've seen, it seems like it's a very kind of small area in Portland where like this is happening. So I don't know if you can kind of maybe like explain like that it's not like Portland shut down, or maybe it is. Right. I don't know. You let me know because of like what's going on, you know?
Can somebody still get like a latte as well?
The lattes are, you know, definitely not stopping at all. So, I mean, and the other big part of that is like whatever lattes have been stopped is like A, because of coronavirus that businesses were already shut down to begin with. So that has nothing to do with the protests. Also, most of the protests that people are concerned about are happening largely, like you said, Tiana, like that footage is like largely between like 11 p.m. and like 4 a.m. Outside of business hours, even for like early morning coffee shops. Like, so it's definitely like pretty disingenuous to say that like the city's under siege. And you're also right, like the main protests are happening in front of two buildings, which is the Portland Justice Center, which houses like not only the Portland Police Bureau on one side, and then on the other side is like sort of the entrance more to like Multnomah County Corrections. So there's a jail in there. And then right next door is the federal courthouse. And then there's two square block parks. So it's like that area. And so maybe if you like accumulated it, you could say there's like nine square blocks, maybe 12 square blocks total, you know, if you include just like the surrounding, you know, I guess you could call the suburbs of the protest.
Right.
Like the periphery of that. But it's primarily those two parks and nowhere else. I mean, sometimes there's marches through other areas, but it's really ridiculous. I mean, a lot of people don't even know that anything's happening in the city because we're already in a lockdown sort of because of coronavirus. So people are going around a lot. And then if you went around during the day, it would seem like another day in Portland. So,
okay. And so obviously the mood is changing even more so. I mean, you mentioned something about today that we can get to, but, you know, is there an insurgence of unmarked vans in Portland? Or what's the deal with that? What's happening? Are people being snatched?
Yeah, so it's super terrifying, actually. And I think like that is the biggest like large scale shift that's been unnerving to me. So I've sort of been covering and like following very closely protests since like 2017. And so a lot of the other things that we're experiencing, which is basically like state violence against, you know, left-wing protesters, is like not new at all.
Right.
Gaslighting those protesters or even the public about what's happening is like very not new. But the biggest thing that's new is like when I'm out at night, I'm usually by myself because like that's the easiest way for me to report and to go around and do what I need to do. But the problem is I have no idea what vehicle is what, because there's so many unmarked vehicles, largely from the federal police, but also even Portland Police Bureau has, like, there's like a silver truck with, you know, like the little bed cover, that cruises around with Portland Police Bureau, but like the federal police also have one. And they also have a bunch of other things like, you know, full-size SUVs, regular SUVs, minivan.
I saw that. I saw somebody snatch somebody away in like a mom van.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, so the first night, I want to say that was, I don't know, maybe the first or second week of July was when those started happening. And that was like a dark gray and a black minivan or cruising around and like literally just like run off, you know, random unidentified officers in camo would rush out of these minivans, grab someone and pull them inside, not tell them they're under arrest, not tell them who they are, but just like basically just grab the person and pull them into this van. And it's like, you know, you've got all this weaponry on you. Like, what am I supposed to do right now? Like, I guess I saw you just a couple minutes ago shooting tear gas and, you know, pepper balls and rubber bullets. So like, I assume you're federal. So people are just kind of like, okay, well, I guess like I'm fucking under arrest now, I guess. And then two nights ago, there was a white minivan with California plates on it. So, and these are rental vans. Like someone thinks that these are coming from like Enterprise. So they just like flew in from out of town and like, you know, like in LA, I don't want to be able to get around. So I'm going to go get a minivan. Oh, well, I've got this minivan. I might as well.
Oh, God. That sounds like a government contract now. So some rental car company taking money from federal government so people can be apprehended without having their Miranda rights read?
I mean, then what's also stopping people from, like, these fools that want to play, like, you know, cop and military, like the Proud Boys and fools like that, that are just going to come up and snatch people? And like, what, we're supposed to assume that it's unmarked feds taking somebody? Like, I just couldn't imagine being in a protest, watching someone that I didn't know, let alone someone I knew or myself, like that happen. Like, just your natural instincts to how you would react to that. It's so bizarre to me that there's people out here that are like trying to defend that something like this is happening. Like, in Portland, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I mean, that's the biggest question. And so, at least I've seen a couple times where like the narrative is like, we don't know who these people are that are taking people. But I mean, the night that we saw the snatcher vans, like we also saw them like working with the feds, like directly. So like, whether or not they're, you know, random, you know, right-wing cosplayers in military garb or they're actually feds, like the feds know who they are, and like federal officers emerge from a federal building to assist when protesters approached you know, a fleet of unmarked vehicles, including two snatcher vans. So like, at least those two are, and that's a big part of what I'm trying to do out there is like, yeah, I'm covering the protest, but I'm also trying to make sort of like you know, looking on those peripheries or like looking at like the back of these buildings where the garages are, where the vehicles are leaving, to try and see like, okay, what vehicles are leaving these? Like, and so ideally I'll take a picture of these vehicles to try and like at least have that as a reference. But the problem with that is like, these are federal officers from out of town. So now, because they're unmarked vehicles that they're using in an official capacity, now it's on, you know, citizen journalists to document all these unmarked vehicles, whether or not they're being used officially or not. So like whether or not someone's leaving the you know, the federal courthouse because they're on their way home, or mm-hmm. they're arriving to work, or whether or not it's a squad going out to abduct people. And now people are, the onus is on the people to document these vehicles. And so now people are always documenting these vehicles, but we can't tell what the use is, and we can't tell mm-hmm. which vehicles are being used officially or not. And so that creates extra tension that wouldn't necessarily have to be there if they just fucking marked the vehicles. Because now it just seems like people want to film. I think they perceive that action of documenting these vehicles as like sort of unnecessary aggression from
right. us.
Because it's like, why are you filming me? I'm not doing anything. I'm just driving this car right now. But it's like, no, but like, I don't know if you're going to drive that car and then kidnap someone.
Right. It's like, yeah, it's like, how is it like aggression to like hold people accountable that yeah. you pay for? As a government, like, servant. Okay.
But I think that brings up a really good point that I was thinking about this morning when I was coming home. Was I think there's a lot of people, and it's sort of also based on just, like, sort of, you know, because Twitter is a fucking nightmare, right? So it's, like, it's great for up-to-date information, but it's also great for, like, attracting an infinite number of, like, horrifying trolls. And mm-hmm. a lot of the narrative that people are getting is that, you know, everyone who's being arrested obviously deserves to be arrested because everyone's violent. And there's a reason for that. And that's not just because of like Fox News, but that's also because of our mayor, our police chief, our police association head, and then also even, you know, mainstream left media. It's just difficult to get the nuance to where I think a lot of people just have a hard time believing that the justice system is so broken that people yeah. are being punished for no reason at all.
Right.
Being abducted for no reason at all. They can't even fathom that level of oppression could exist.
Right.
Which is a really weird thing to like watch and then hear. I don't know. It's very strange.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. I mean,
like, it's such a privilege to not understand that while it's happening in front of your eyes.
Yeah,
you know, like, I don't feel like you have to, like, you know, again, it's part of being privileged, I think, is like not having to go through an experience to understand it or to listen to the people who have experienced it. So to just make the assumption that someone's getting snatched off the street in an unmarked vehicle, or that someone's out protesting, means that they're right. out to be aggressive or cause, you know, violence. It's like, when, again, most of the times there's aggression is when, you know, police intervene and start, you know, approaching protesters.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, is it actually just people protesting in the streets and then they just get snatched?
Yeah. Or, so there's like, definitely like some of
some levels, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's an infinite number of levels, but I would say like nothing really is prompting. No one is doing anything that I've seen to where, okay, maybe one person every night maybe deserves to be shot with a rubber bullet.
And like what kind of like offense, quote, would that be to you? Like, what do you think deserves a rubber bullet from?
Or like yeah. pushing the line to
yeah,
where
like how far
aggression would be the answer. Maybe not a rubber bullet, but like they would have to get like aggressive with somebody.
Yeah, and so, I mean, so to be clear, like I don't think any of that is deserved. Like,
I don't
think anyone deserves any of that sort of. I think it could be justified.
Yeah.
Right.
And that I'm talking about, like, you know, protesters are using like commercial grade fireworks.
Right.
And like they're like throwing them at the courthouse or at these federal officers. Or sometimes every now and then someone will throw a rock, like, and that's like very rare. Most of the time it's water bottles. You know, there's a couple of glass bottles, but like these things are, you know, very, very inconsequential. And these officers are like head to toe in military gear. So like
right.
they're wearing ballistic helmets and someone with a rock and you've got a ballistic helmet on, like, that's, you're going to be just fine. But these protesters are out here with, like, construction hats on and, like,
right,
no face covering. And then they're being shot at with these less lethal rounds, which, like, I think initially I thought the term was less than lethal, but it's not, it's less lethal.
So they are lethal. There's a, the probability of death is, it's possible.
Yeah. It's just slightly lower.
It's just, oh my God.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's bonkers.
Oh, shit.
I just, like,
also the name of the company that does a lot of this stuff is really funny. It's like Safari Land or something.
Like who supplies the gear?
The munitions.
Okay. So they're used to kill animals? Safari?
It's like the same bullets they use to kill giraffes. They use on.
Poor, I bet. Something endangered. We only shoot endangered species with these. Well,
yeah, I mean,
it's a less lethal bullet, so it's not our fault if they die.
Exactly.
So, you know, just if I just look up less Safariland munitions on Google, it says from pepper spray to batons to handcuffs, it's crowd control products. So I think, like, you know, there's a lot of problematic associations that can be made to comparing crowds to animals. But that's, you know, that's a big part of this game is optics and perception and, like, verbiage that can be used to justify, you know, just, like, being fucking brutal towards other
people. Dehumanize people.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, it's just, like, so bizarre, but not, like, shocking, right? To think, like, this is happening in, like, Portland, which is a pretty white city, right?
So, I mean, like, it was like, it wasn't, it was one of the first, it was like a state that wanted to be in all, I mean, Portland's racist roots, Oregon's racist roots go very deep.
Right.
You know, so it kind of, like, which is interesting, not coincidence. I don't think it's an actual coincidence. I think historically, like, this kind of makes sense to me. Like, right now, the aggression at where this location is and what the state started as. So, I think it is, it's not as coincidental as one would
imagine. True. That's fair. I guess I just think it's interesting that, like, the feds were deployed there before, like, he had to, like, I guess he wasn't making it as obvious to, like, deploy them in, like, Chicago or in, like, Oakland or somewhere. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that's what's interesting to me on like, the optics of, like, it being, like, a super white city.
Yeah, but we're also not hearing about obviously, that as we've been talking about, the narrative is, like, very pointed right now towards Portland, but I'm not hearing of any other protests that are as described as, you know, like, violently or mischaracterized as Portland. Mm. So Trump is just picking cities.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Portland. He's like, okay, well, Chicago, like, what is happening in Portland happened first. And then he's just using it as a tool to just pick cities that he doesn't like.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's, Portland has a very long history of, like, very loudly, you know, telling Trump to go fuck himself. So, so it's, you know, I'm sure there's, like, some level of this that's personal.
Everything's personal with that fool, I feel like.
It really is. So the mayor of Portland is not doing, he's not a good guy. What's the vibe here?
Yeah, so Ted Wheeler is a funny person. I think it was 2017. I, like, was working with the Portland State Vanguard at PSU, where I went to college, and so we, like, had an interview with the mayor, like a mock interview to, like, help people that were working on the on the newspaper, like, get some, like, on the ground reporting skills and interview skills, like, see how an interview works and, like, this and that. And it's really interesting because he's really good at talking, and, like, saying really nice things. But he's also, you know, this is, like, a very neoliberal approach, which is, like, you know, like, we all would love to, like, have all these, like, nice things and, like, create a system that works for everyone, but, like, bureaucracy, you know? So, like, what can I do? You know, we, like, went out and we hit the
mark. I mean, you're the mayor, so you actually can do something.
Well, it's not only that, but he's also the police commissioner. So, like, he, he hires the police chief, and he, it, the police, in some capacity, work for him. So like, it's not only that the city is under his purview, but also the city's police department specifically, well, the city's police bureau specifically is under his.
So it appears he has all the power to do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And also he's also the parks commissioner, because the former parks commissioner died, Nick Fish, at the start of the year.
This guy's in charge of too much shit in Portland. What's going on with that?
So
too much.
The interesting part about him being in charge of the parks is there's the two parks in front of the federal courthouse,
right,
and the Justice Center. And so for a couple weeks, there's this like back and forth game where they'd put up a fence around the parks to stop people from going in. And then the protesters would come in at night and like take the fences down and like you do construction projects with them. And then the morning would come and they put the fences back up. And you know, like I said, like he's the parks commissioner. He could decide what to do, or he should at least be aware of what the police are doing, and he should at least be aware of what's happening with his parks, because he's the commissioner for those things. But you know, the answers are never forthcoming, and it's, you know, I think he also runs with the same narrative that the police feed him, which is not going to be contrary to what is in the best interest of the police. So I don't know. He's a neoliberal guy who used to be a Republican and says a lot of really nice, you know, woke liberal, white Portland things, that, but takes no action to like back up that stuff. And that's sort of a trend in a lot of places, but specifically here in Portland with our government, which is like, well, we'll get to work on that because you're hyped up about it right now. And then the hype dies down and nothing happens. And so specifically like coming out of college is really interesting because there's a lot of activism, like trying to push that administration to do things, but then they just wait out the people until they graduate. So then like that enthusiasm dies with those activists. And this is sort of the same thing with our mayor, with our police chiefs, where it's like people try to put pressure on, and then like our police chief just came and went within like 2 or 3 years. Our mayors don't last very long either. I mean, like we don't like to put up a lot of shit as citizens, but you know, our city is very slow to actually take and make change in a substantive way.
It's just interesting to kind of see the like the foundation of what's happening out there. Specifically with the local government and how important that is.
Yeah. And I think a big part of this whole thing is I want to go back to something that you were talking about, Tiana, at the start of this, which is like when we were talking about like national media coming in and like that sort of like savior complex of being able to explain other people's experience. Like, I mean, that's what this whole thing is about, right? Like that's what the Black Lives Matter movement is about, at least in my understanding, is like people trying to speak for Black people and trying to sort of like, oh, I know what's best for you. And that's a big part of all of this. And also here in Portland, which is like trying to explain what's best for not only everyone in Portland, but also specifically the Black community here in Portland. It's like the mayor can't answer that question. And we have people who can, but those people don't get brought to the table.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's been another big problem with this, is like the people that should be in the room getting those conversations never get in those conversations with the people who can actually make those changes. Instead, they bring in other people of color to like, you know, or at this point, it seemed like specifically Black people are being brought in to be like, oh, well, like we found these Black people who agree with us. And so like we brought them in and like they all said like we're doing the right thing.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of levels. Portland is very complex, and I don't know, we can definitely chat more about like whatever you're curious about most, but there's a lot of weird layered shit going on in this town.
Yeah, I think a lot of, I mean, in general too, the when I talk to relatives or friends who are not necessarily fans of the BLM movement, and you know, you have to like give them some grace if you can, if you want to try to communicate something that will stick with them, like the complexity of the issues, and sometimes they don't understand, like they don't want to hear that they have a bias or that like why this thought is racist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they don't understand. Like, they might have a friend who, like, let's say, is like a person of color who agrees with them. So that's cool. Then they're just going to spout this shit off. Like, there's so much complexity to everything. And some, like, I think the school system has really failed some people because the critical thinking is really set to zero.
And I think people let their egos get in the way. You know, like, people are so quick to be defensive and say, well, I'm not racist. And it's like, you know, I think one of the main talking points right now, it's like, it's not enough not to be just not racist. You have to be anti-racist, and you have to like do that work to really keep opening your eyes over and over again about like, you know, what the effects of racism and systematic racism. So like, I definitely feel like gentle with people because I feel like specifically if that's something you haven't had experience with and you truly don't believe in and you have an experience that makes you open your eyes, like that shit can be fucking shocking. I can only imagine. But in that sense, you have to remember like, okay, if this is so shocking and hard for you to swallow, imagine what it must be like to be a person of color in this system, in this world. So just, you know, like to listen. And if you get that seat at the table that the other people don't get, at least go prepared to know like you have the right information, since your voice will be more amplified at that table, since other people don't get that opportunity.
Yeah. Very well said. By both you and I and Jake. What a great.
I mean, who said stoners can't be philosophical? Yeah. Okay.
I don't think anyone ever said that. I feel like
I mean, actually, all they know is philosophy, like on stone.
The
like,
people that would deny racism exists would also say stoners can't be like thought provoking.
Yeah.
And here we are proving them wrong.
One, Simulian. Two, punch, 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 punch.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, Jake, I mean, you've been very informative. It's really nice to get a firsthand account of something.
Yeah.
Like thank you for that.
And a reminder of the complexity of things.
Yeah. I mean, do you, like, obviously we've talked about like the camo gear and the safari bullets. And like, I know that you did, did you get tear gas or were you shot by one of the bullets?
Yeah. Yeah. I was, a week ago Sunday, so this is a week and a half after.
Oh my god. Damn. This is a very deep purple welt around, you know, in an area of his body.
It's definitely started to go down.
Like, I see the yellow around it a little bit, so it's starting to heal. Yeah.
Stephanie said that's good, which is, you know, it's nice to have a nurse that I live with, so she could be like, oh, you're not getting worse.
That's good.
This wound appears to be doing what it's supposed to do, as opposed to, you're dying, so probably, right. You know,
fill that's out not a- what it's supposed to look like.
have you felt pain like that before? What kind of, I mean, I've never been shot, so I don't know.
I've been shot by a paintball, but I can't imagine it's the same at all.
So paintball is actually a really great comparison, just because, yeah. So the paintball, one of the weapons that they use a lot is the pepper balls, and the pepper balls are just basically paintballs. And like, if you see the guns that they're shooting them out of, they're like, they've got the little paintball hopper thing on the top, because it's just a bunch of these round little pepper balls that just like feed through a hopper and they just get shot out at people.
And do the pepper balls, like, sorry to interrupt you, do the pepper balls like make like a pepper spray type of thing? Do like they burn? Like, is that why they're called pepper balls, or it's just?
Yeah. So, I mean, let me see if Safariland has information about pepper balls.
I always heard pepper balls, and like, is that like a special way to like shoot, like, you know, some pepper spray? Someone's eyes like, ah, you got me.
I'm sure that's what the protesters say. Oh my God, you got me.
Oh no.
I mean, it's like really spicy powder. That will like definitely burn your eyes.
Right. It probably makes like, I'm sure when it hits you, it like makes like a dust or something.
Yeah. And so there's definitely several different ways that it's used. And one of those ways is like, it'll be shot directly at people to like give you that like sort of like, with a paintball gun. And then also disperse some of that dust to like not only punish you now, but also
it's a dual purpose bullet.
And sometimes they'll just spray it at the ground to try and kick that dust up at people. So lots of different things, but I would say this sort of felt
like at people, you mean American citizens?
Yeah.
Sorry, just want to bring that home for people. American citizens, our own government, giving this to us.
I would also just like to sort of clarify that, like, it doesn't matter if you're an American citizen or not.
Yes, fair.
That's
a great clarification.
I think that that's an unfortunate aspect of this dialogue is, like, you know, people at the border, when they got gassed to shit, you know, either at the start of this year or last year sometime, they were like in that valley and they threw a bunch of tear gas at them. It's like, we don't have to care about them because like they're illegal aliens. It's that dehumanization that you're
talking about. It shows like the slippery slope of like what you accept. So once you dehumanize a certain group of people and you start to accept that, how easy it is to get to the level where, you know, somebody you at some point, like I don't personally, but these people who like justify what happened to people who weren't American citizens see this happening to American citizens, like, oh shit, what's happening now?
Americans are fucking obsessed with exclusivity. I'm sorry, like I'm not trying to get into Arkansas. Like why? that's not on my list of places to go. So
no, not at all.
Why are you guarding it so hard, people? Like this is not a nightclub that's been in vogue, okay?
And we could get into like the In Vogue nightclub, so thank you.
I mean, we're allowed it. as I rant about exclusivity, like it's the hottest club.
But exclusivity is like super important to the conversation because like, the way that this is functioning is that like everyone that's there and protesting is branded as an anarchist or a communist. And so like these people aren't deserving of democracy because they want to like destroy what America stands for. Like sort of the narrative. We could talk about the long legacy this country has of like suppressing communist movements or anarchist movements.
I remember when I read up when I the McCarthy era in college. I was like, what? To college? This is why like when you do voter breakdowns and stuff of education levels, it's like you understand some things sometimes, you know? Like that's a little elitist of me, but it's like if it's true if you look at breakdowns, voter breakdowns. But like, yeah, the Red Scare artists, if they're writing a play that questions the status quo or questions authoritative measures,
or believes in workers' rights, or
yeah, workers' rights, so important, and you know they're blacklisted and they're threatened, they can lose their job, they can lose everything. Speaking of badass bitches, Jake, you're gonna be here for the announcement of our Queen of the Week.
Oh shit!
Queen of the Week, Queen of the Week, it's the Queen of the Week.
Our Queen of the Week is AOC.
She had a nice clapback.
Well deserved.
Yeah, she's had some good clapbacks. Well, first of all, one of her clapbacks was like very important and historic, like at the Capitol building. And then one of her tweets was also pretty fire. So I don't know if you guys, Jake, I'm sure you know, like Ted Yuhu, whatever the fuck his name, Yoho, called his colleague a fucking bitch to reporters.
And then try to say like he didn't say it or he did say it or and then try to like make the like try to say, well, like, you know, I'm a father of daughters and I have a wife, so I respect women.
You don't need that to respect women. You don't need to know anybody. You don't need to know a woman. You don't need to know a person of color. You don't need to know fucking anybody to be a decent person and like not say or harm other people.
Yeah. I just love that. Like, she was going to like pretty much like let it go. She tweeted basically, you know, saying like this happened, but you know, kind of ended it with like, well, you know what? Bitches get shit done. And it's like, yeah, they do. And then he went and tried to say that bullshit ass half apology, not real apology. Like, I'm a good man. There's no way I could do something like that. And then she had to come to the floor and be like, no.
Let me tell you.
She said, Representative Yoho decided to come to the floor of the House of Representatives and make excuses for his behavior. And I cannot let that go. I cannot allow my nieces. I cannot allow the little girls that I go home to. I cannot allow victims of verbal abuse and worse to see that. To see the excuse and to see our Congress accept it as legitimate and accept it as an apology and to accept silence as a form of acceptance. I could not allow that to stand, which is why I'm rising today to raise the point of personal privilege. I do not need Representative Yoho to apologize to me. Clearly, he does not want to. Clearly, when given the opportunity, he will not. And I will not stay up late at night waiting for an apology from a man who has no remorse over calling women and using abusive language towards women. But what I do have an issue with is his using women, wives, and daughters as shields and excuses for his poor behavior.
Mm.
Woo! Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was good. Like, because I'm happy she said something, because that's what always happens, right? People get this half-assed apology and everyone just kind of like moves on. But it's like, no, like, you can have a daughter, you can be, have a wife, you can have a mother, a grandmother, a sister, an aunt, and still be a man that makes terrible misogynistic choices. It doesn't excuse you just because of, like, you're, like, you know, I don't know, having something.
Women weren't allowed to vote when they had husbands.
Yeah, they weren't the first ones out there being like, we should let these hoes vote.
Because they knew. They knew it was coming, and now they fucking have to snatch people off the streets if they can't handle it. Yo, is there an HR for Congress? Like, what's going on here? You know,
where are all the Karens? Why can't they go talk to the manager of the government?
Does Ted Yoho have to go to, like, an office and some, like, 30-year-old who's stressed out, who's, like, overqualified in HR for Congress? It's like, Ted. Yeah, I don't even know if I can do anything to you, Ted, but please don't do this anymore.
I'm like really trying to organize this gift card bonus for all the interns who've worked really hard. You know, we got these $5 Subway gift cards. It's actually not going to buy them anything useful, but you know, it's a token of our appreciation. And you come here with this bullshit.
And I'm going to do that raffle. You know, there's always a raffle. Oh, like, I do that fucking, that, oh my God, that Department of like fucking Justice, like thank you card raffle. Funny, just like.
Oh, also, can you, while you're here, can you also sign this Get Well Soon card for someone?
For RGB.
And before you go, I'm organizing the Republican and Democrat Softball League in 2023. I know we're just getting a head start on it because it's going to be a nightmare to figure out. So just, are you in or are you out, Yoho?
Oh, no, my God.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Damn. But.
I like the part where she said she's not going to wait up at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
perfect. Well deserved. Well deserved.
Deserved. And I think, Jake, I don't want to say we don't deserve you, but like, you know, this was amazing. This was such a great interview.
I know. I'm so grateful for your like honest account and opinion about what's going out there. And it really opened my eyes to like, you know, some things I didn't realize. So I appreciate you.
Like, it's no secret, I'm sure, like people who have just listened to this, like you swing heavily left, but like that doesn't matter because you're just out there recording shit.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously you have ideals and values that you stick to, but you're just being an objective observer. And we didn't even get a chance to talk about, oh fuck, but we gotta wrap it up soon. But just, you know, rest in power, John Lewis. And Obama gave an amazing eulogy. He honored his life while still fighting for the things John Lewis has fought for like 60 years. I didn't know he marched when he was 20, he was like 20 when he was organizing stuff with MLK.
And he was like one of the first people to be out here doing the, like, you know, lunch counter protest. And, you know, he was all about, I really like the phrase, nonviolent civil disobedience. You know, it just, it says everything about, like, what it means to protest. And, like, disobedience is part of it.
He called it good trouble. That's what Obama said he's called good trouble.
And he wrote like an essay to the people like the day before he died. And I want to pull it up. Like, one of the main things he said was like about how proud he was and like inspired he was by like everything going on right now. Yeah. And if like, if you can do anything in John Lewis's legacy, is fucking to stay out here in the streets, to keep protesting, to fucking get out there and vote. And because he fucking risked his life so that we could have the opportunity to exercise our First Amendment right and to be able to vote.
And people are working all day and then they're going to these protests all night.
Yeah.
Like, it's no joke.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and I mean, that's like a funny narrative that like, oh, all these protesters need to get a job. And it's like, you'd be surprised how many of them, like, yeah, this is like second shift for them. Like,
right.
This one guy I know, like, I'll see him get out there at like 2 o'clock in the morning. He's like, yeah, I just got off work. And it's like, all right, well, fucking good to see you.
Oh, man. Damn. Thank you so much, Jake.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Sammy, it's been amazing getting back at it. It's nice to have a place to let the rage out again.
I have, oh my God, this, and I have therapy tomorrow.
Oh my God, Sammy, look at that. Self-care is important in quarantine, y'all. Don't forget, you can follow us at highly_political. And, you know, leave those reviews. We got stickers, y'all. So if you want some stickers, leave a review. Send us a DM of that review. And we'll slide some stickers your way, okay?
Mm-hmm, a sweet sticker.
Hey, bye, guys.
Bye.